The Gospels are completely full of stories of people asking Jesus for things, either asking him questions or just asking for favors of various sorts. Heal my daughter, cure this leprosy, heal my blindness, so on and so on. Lots and lots of questions that are posed to Jesus. But today's gospel, the question that is posed to him, or the request that is made of him, is one that I find to be incredibly, incredibly, incredibly relevant and universally applicable to every single one of us. And this is a question in various shapes and forms that I probably receive more than any other question, and it is this. So from the beginning of the gospel, Jesus is praying in a certain place, and when he has finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So, Jesus kneeling in prayer. I mean, the Gospels record multiple times over where Jesus goes off by himself to pray, and the apostles see him praying. There's a witness of the rhythm of life. Sometimes he spends all night and locked in prayer. And we have the apostle who witnesses this, and for whatever he saw, when he came back, he's like, "Lord, teach us to pray too." And, you know, in 10 years of priesthood, that's a question I hear frequently in different shapes or forms or sizes. Like, I don't know what to do for a holy hour. How am I supposed to spend an hour? Or how am I supposed to discern what is God's voice? What is God asking of me? What am I supposed to do with my life, with my marriage? Should I take this job? Or, you know, they're all various forms of the same question. Lord, teach us to pray. Father, teach me how to pray. And it's an important question for us as Christians to know that prayer, not just the rhythm of our life is important, but even how to pray. Now, before I came here to St. Peter's, right, I was a chaplain of Capon High School. I was there for almost 7 years. And one of the questions I love asking my students in class at the beginning of the semester, I'd ask all kinds of questions, but one of the questions I loved to ask was, who taught you how to pray? Who was the first person to teach you prayer? Who was the one who kind of introduced you to prayer? And, you know, there'd be a whole variety of answers to that question, as you can imagine. Some of them would say a teacher in school, you know, my second grade teacher. That's the first time I really remember being taught to pray. Some kids would say their parents or their priest or whatever. But interestingly enough, the number one answer that I received, who taught you how to pray? Who was the first person to teach you how to pray? The number one answer was grandma. It was my grandma. It's kind of an interesting, and I think there's something beautiful in that, and maybe something a little bit sad, insofar as, like, has the faith kind of skipped a generation, so to speak? Like the intensity of the grandparents' generation, and kind of a lackluster maybe for the parent generation, but these kids are being taught and inspired by grandparents a lot of times. And there's something to be said for that. Now, that's not to say that parents aren't teaching their kids to pray, and I do think that happens, but I think grandparents have an ability to speak to grandkids in a way that even mom and dad doesn't. Because I do think there's something to be said for, like, the whole, what does mom and dad know? And I mentioned this last night in my homily, and somebody came up to me after Mass and said, "You know, Father, do you know why grandparents and grandkids get along so well? It's because they have a common enemy." So... I'm like, I'm stealing that. So, now, this weekend, whether you know it or not, this weekend is actually set aside as World Day for Grandparents and Elderly. Pope Francis, in 2021, Pope Francis named the last weekend of July the World Day for Grandparents and for Elderly. And so yesterday, July 26th, is the feast day of St. Anne and Joachim, the grandparents of Jesus, Mary's mom and dad. So their feast day was yesterday. And so Pope Francis, seeing that feast day, said, "You know what? I want to make an annual day that is set aside for the honoring of grandparents and for the honoring of the elderly." Now, think about this. This was established in 2021. What was going on in 2021? What was happening throughout the world? the fallout from COVID, right? Think about all the pandemic and everything that happened with that. And what was the result of that? Even more stratification and isolation than what we've seen in a very long time. Regardless of FaceTime and internet and the connectivity that we have, the pandemic of loneliness, I would say, was probably far more devastating than the pandemic of the virus itself. And it carries on to this day. I met with a couple, a year or two ago. I met with a couple and was kind of just talking with them and getting to know them a little bit. And the young man was, he's an HVAC installer for residential. And he said, you know, Father, that one thing that, and my HVAC training and all the schooling that I did for that, that they didn't prepare me for, that they didn't teach me about, was how much time I would spend installing, you know, air conditioners in people's homes, and how much time I would have to set aside just to talk to the homeowners, the elderly widow or widower, that I might be the only human being that they speak to that day. And they just, you know, they want to talk. They want to, and just like, man, there is a pandemic of loneliness, I think. And shame on us if that is our own family, that is a member of our own household, if that's the people that are part of our communities. And I think Pope Francis was exactly right on the money to make this an intentional, concerted effort to remember and to honor and to show the dignity to our grandparents and to the elderly who can so easily be forgotten. You look at our diocese, particularly here in Wichita, and you look at that grandparent generation, that they were the ones who really, in a lot of ways, bore the brunt of instituting and living stewardship in our diocese. The model that we get to benefit from is from that generation who, back in the early 1980s, said, you know what? I am willing to sacrifice. I am willing to deny myself the big flashy things, and I'm going to intentionally restrict what I spend on myself in order to move that forward to others. A selflessness in that you and I have benefited from. And then shame on us if we throw them into a care home in front of a television and forget about them. When I was a kid, my family, my mom, it was kind of her idea. We had 10 kids in our family, and we homeschooled, and our next door neighbors also had 10 kids and they homeschooled. And so the two families combined together, and we made a group called the Kids That Care. Okay. And so we would travel around to care homes, and we'd just sing to the elderly folks there. We didn't have any relatives. We didn't know anybody there. But Mom insisted, like, this is one of the things that she wanted us to do. And I remember being terrified, just like, you know, just old folks, God bless them. Sometimes they just say things. I'll never forget the one time we were in the middle of singing one of our songs, and this old guy in the back was like, shut up! I'm like, oh, okay. but I think my mom was onto something. Like, not just for what we were able to offer those folks who just, so many of them would sit there in their wheelchairs and look at the door, and you'd sit there and talk to them, and they would say, maybe today's the day my son comes and visits me. Maybe the day's the day I'll get to see my grandkids. For a lot of them, it just wasn't. So, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, this idea of remembering and honoring our grandparents. Today is offered, it's a work of mercy, a plenary indulgence to all those who visit, spend time with, and make an intentional act to honor grandparents and elderly. So whether that or not that's your own grandparents or elderly or the neighbor down the street or whatever it is, I would challenge you, do not let the sun set today without doing some sort of act of charity, some sort of visit, make some cookies and drop them off, buy some sweet corn and drop it off. We have a ton of it out back. But to do something to just remember them. Ask them questions about their childhood. Ask them questions, who taught you how to pray? What did the faith look like when you were a child? You'll get all kinds of stories. But then for those of you who are in that elderly and grandparent category, I remember talking to my own grandma, who she was a widow for about 25 years before she passed away, and she never remarried, but there was a lot of loneliness. And I remember her saying to me one time, you know, Curtis, I don't know why God is leaving me here. I don't know why, but I must have something yet the Lord wants me to accomplish. And so she did. She kind of, she couldn't mow her own lawn or anything, but she had little neighbor kids come over and, you know, she'd pay them or give them cookies or whatever. But she always had little holy cards or little medals or little rosaries. And she taught her little neighbor kids, who none of them were Catholic and none of them practiced any kind of faith whatsoever. But she would sit there and have her own little Sunday school in her living room or on her front porch. A missionary heart. And so, and that's not even speaking to the power of prayer. The power of prayer of a grandparent, of a parent. Like, make no mistake, you have something incredibly valuable to offer. And so, be annoying. Call your children if they don't call you. Insist that you get together. Insist on praying for them. It's one of those things that we can look to St. Anne and Joachim and see how they would have instilled the faith into the Blessed Mother and into Jesus as grandparents, to ask for their intercession, but to also, especially, to honor and to remember our older generations who are in our midst. May they not be forgotten.